And it is my joy and privilege to introduce to you a friend of mine. Before I do that, let me just say how eager and anxious I am to be back up here starting next week, preaching again next week. My writing leave ends tomorrow, and thank you for allowing me to, thank you to the elders for encouraging me to withdraw for a season of time each summer to think and write. Our preacher today is someone that I love with all my heart. The formal on paper stuff is that Reverend Bob Allams works with a Praying Life Ministries. That may ring a bell because we had a prayer conference here, seminar here last October that Paul Miller led. Bob was here sharing in that leadership, and Bob has been Paul's right-hand man with a Praying Life Ministries for many years. So Bob continues to serve through a Praying Life and help individuals and churches. Here's the genius insight, okay, that I have been helped with and want to keep learning and growing in. How does a church have prayer not be one ministry among others that they do? How does a church instead do all of their work by prayer? In other words, prayer isn't one bucket alongside 12 or 25 other things activities you are doing as a church, but the way, the posture, actually, in which we do everything. Thank you, Bob. He is going to be, this is personal for me and for our church, because Bob is going to be helping me and our elders directly this coming year through a prayer cohort that we are going to be doing virtually. And so we are very thankful for that. Beyond the formal stuff on paper about who Bob is, and I want to greet Helen as well, Bob's wife, Bob and Helen. Bob has meant a lot to me. Bob has been a counselor to me over the years, going back many years, actually, as I was wrestling with a call into ministry, and really helped me think that through in my Crossway days. Bob is an encourager. Bob is a laugher. Bob is a refresher. If you have spent more than 15 seconds with Bob, you know exactly what I mean. Bob is a lover of the word. He's a lover of people. And before I invite him up, I want to read one verse. This is actually, I have Bob Allams written in the margin of my Bible right here. This is Philemon 7. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Do you have a Philemon 7 friend? I do. And he's going to preach for us today. So Bob, come, and let's welcome him as he comes.
Thank you, Dane. Wow. I need to hang around NPC more often. All this time, I just thought I got on your nerves. Oh, as the Lord would have it, I just want to thank you. First of all, Dane, thank you for letting me do this. What a great privilege. And thank you, NPC, because I don't know if you know this, but you've been a great proponent of my work. And I'm so tempted to take the few minutes that I've got to tell you of all the neat things that I'm getting to see throughout the world. There is an amazing prayer movement throughout the world. And it would so encourage you, because doggone it, it looks like the whole world has gone crazy, doesn't it? But I would love to tell you about the 200 Russian-speaking college students that wanted a seminar, and the only place we could find to meet was out in the woods, in this pavilion, if you will, and it was really cold in that part of the world. And when we did our first break, every college student got up and left. But he or she went back to their dorms and got blankets so they could come back out into the evening cold air, and they wrapped up just to go through a praying life. That's the extent of your work right there. I wish I could tell you about what's going on in Asia now. There's an amazing revival in Asia going on now. I wish I could tell you about 1,000 pastors who are in a closed communist country and under great threat come out for training. And can you just help me learn how to pray? That's the extent of your work. And oh gosh, anyway, I've already eaten up a lot of time. But thank you. Thank you for helping us get out there. And I hope on the last day, when all that is hidden is revealed, when you get your part of that reward, I hope you'll look back and go, boy, those guys were worth the investment. Amen? Isn't that what we all hope? So thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. And now let's look at Psalm 145. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you say you love to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask you. Oh, Father, today would you be our teacher? Would you open up to us the great and mysterious things that are in your mind and heart? Lord, we come as your students. Help us be attentive. Help us take good notes where we need them. Lord, would you be so pleased to encourage us and bless us? We need fresh energy. We need a fresh oomph in our step. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 145 is an amazing psalm. And when Dane said, pick a psalm, and by the way, this will be the last one in this block of summer preaching, I thought, oh, fun, let's go to the very end of the psalms. Are you like that? Do you sometimes go to the end of a book to see how it ends? No, I'm the only cheater in the room. Okay. But sometimes it's a great way to read the Word of God. Begin with the end in mind. Go read the end. And what we see here is a man, David, King David, who not only ran a country, who walked with his God, who led in battle, who did all these wonderful things, and then did all these things appropriate to a scoundrel as well. He was good at sinning. He was good at making mistakes and messing up. It's really fun to see him towards the latter part of his life, to see what he has to say as he reflects on his life with God. Does that make sense? Oh, by the way, I love a little, this is good, or this is good, or this is, when do we go to lunch? I remember when my dad died about 10 years ago, one of my jobs was to go through all of his papers. And there I found these amazing letters between his dad and him, you know? And it was so neat to get to see just these memories of what life was like between them. In a lot of ways, that's what we're doing in Psalm 145. So if I were to ask you as an assignment, where you are in life right now, would you write your God a hymn? Would you write him a psalm? Would you write him a poem? And just show your heart, especially those of you who are, you know, should I say, advanced in years, like, you know, those of us that are upper 60s, 70s, 80s. What would you say? Because I've got to be honest with you, Dane, sometimes I look at the Christian life and I go, ooh, I just see nothing but mistakes and bad decisions. Am I doing this right? Lord, am I still here? Anybody out there get like, yeah? By the way, if I say something funny and you don't laugh, remember, I will laugh for you. Because doggone it, that's the way the Christian life is. We know the doctrine, we know the grace, we know the word, and we love it. But then we look in the mirror and we go, ooh, golly, what is this? It just seems like one bad attempt after another. So let me ask you, according to David, King David, what does success look like? In Psalm 145, he writes this hymn to the Lord, and he says, first of all, he says, I will extol you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever. Do you realize what he's saying? He's adoring the Lord. Spurgeon called this David's adoration. And extolling is a lot more than blessing or praising. If I praise you, I say something nice about you, right? So if I were to say to my wife who's here in the audience, my sweetheart, you look exceptionally beautiful today. She would probably say, well, thank you. That makes me feel good, right? That's good. Thank you. If I were to say, honey, I want to bless you, that's more than praise. That's actually wanting to move her into an emotive, soul level place, effect. I really want you to know how much I love you. But if I come and I say, sweetheart, sweetheart, hear me. Of all the people in the sanctuary in Naperville this morning, you outshine them all. Do you see what I've done? I've extolled her. You know, I've moved her to the very highest position. What does success look like in the life of King David towards his latter years in the hymn he writes? What you see is this heart that is so God-focused and so in love with his Savior that he is a vanguard for him feeling the place of greatness. Amen? Are you catching this? So who is the highest and the greatest in the room? And I can honestly say, with all my foibles and flaws and mistakes in life, that I really do find a growing jealousy as a vanguard for the attributes and the glory of God. Do you? I mean, when you leave here on Sunday, do you go, oh, we lifted him up today, and there was no greater joy in my heart. Amen? Now, I mean, you might go, I loved seeing everybody. Everybody is so nice, and they're good looking and polite, and, you know, yeah, and I'm excited about lunch. But let me tell you, when you leave and you go, ah, we lifted up our Savior today, and there's an element of joy, you're on the right track, per the example of David. That neat? I will extol you, he says. There are other things about this. Let me just give you some quick things, and I am watching the time because I know we want to get to the Lord's table. But first of all, David wrote this, and he wrote it, he not only composed it, but he put it to music. And those of you who are gifted musically and trained musically, you know how much of a challenge that is, right? Music is a whole different way of thinking in the brain. But he wrote this to become a hymn. And why? Well, not only does it move you emotively when you sing, amen, but also you remember it. He wrote this to be remembered. And let me just give you, I'm going to date myself here, okay? But let me just give you an example of this. If I sing this little jingle, can you complete it? Winston tastes good. Isn't that amazing? Okay, you have not heard that in over 52 years. That's when it was removed from the airwaves. Isn't that interesting? So when you write something to music, you're doing it not only to express yourself from the heart, but to remember it. Another thing David did is he did it as a mnemonic. Remember what that is? Remember in school when you were going into that test and you had to think up a funny word to remember the points of right? You know? Like, how many of you remember when math class, this sentence, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally. Anybody remember that? It's the order of operations for a math problem. You know, parenthesis, exponent, second, you know. or how about this? ABCs of a first responder. Airway, breathing, circulation. Right, Dr. K? Right? And you do that because you need to remember. David not only writes a song to remember, but he uses mnemonics. So this will never leave him. That's how much this means to him. Another neat thing you see in this is that he says, I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. This is another thing I've seen in the Christian life over the years. And by the way, I became a Christian right around eighth grade. Those terrible years. Oh, gosh. Aren't you so glad those are behind you? So I'm a little older than that now. And so I've got these years to draw on, you know? And it's all of grace. You look back over your life and you see all these flaws and foibles. But one thing you'll see, too, is reflection becomes more and more important to you. Have you noticed that? So sometimes you're praying, and sometimes you're just reflecting. And then the reflection leads to more talking to God. And talking to God leads you to more reflection. Amen? Is that? Don't you love how that goes? Jesus was doing it throughout the Gospels. You see it throughout the Scriptures. And you see this in David. He's talking to God. I will extol you. I will bless you. I'll bless you every day. And then he just reflects and he says, great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. And then he's talking to God again. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, on your wondrous works, I will meditate. Now, where this goes is, I want to encourage you to do this, is, I'm in a praying life guy, and we do these index cards. I know that looks silly. But all we're doing is making a written record of what we're asking of God. And then we're paying close attention to the story that develops. That's all a prayer card is. That's all a prayer story is. You're asking deliberately, and then you're watching for the story. And sometimes the waiting is the hardest part. But then, all of a sudden, things begin to pop in the story, and you find yourself amazed. And here David says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. So one of the things that happens in your older years and walking with God is you do find yourself looking backward a lot. And one of the things I have to wrestle with is I look back and I look at decisions I made and immaturity, things I said that, ooh, I wish I hadn't said that, or I wish I hadn't said it that way. Or, you know, are you like that when you look back and you just have these kind of regrets? At the same time, what you'll see in this walking with God over the course of a long life is you'll begin to see and celebrate grace more deeply. Are you just amazed at his grace? Are you amazed that with all your flaws and foibles and regrets, even as a Christian, I know you're in Christ. You wouldn't be here is my guess. You'd be doing something else. Even though you know the righteousness of Christ is yours, even though you know there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, even though you know the promises are yours and they're all that's necessary to partake of the divine nature, right? Amen? I mean, you're ticking these. I know it, Bob. I know it. I got it, buddy. I got all that down. Then why do these things gnaw at us? I tell you why. He's showing us his grace. It is all to the glory of his grace. Amen and amen. Three cheers. Hallelujah and amen. Right? Yeah, are you with me? Hello? Are we? He's showing, when you get, the longer you walk with him, the more you will see as you look back all these points of grace. And I'm here to tell you, when you get towards the very end, I think you're going to go, my, my. There I was in eighth grade. There I was, you know, an immature, trying to learn how life works, kid. And I ran full blast into a tornado of grace. That's our God. Amen. Oh, gosh. We just have to stop and thank you. Just begin to lift him up and praise him, would you? Oh, Father, thank you for your converting grace. Oh, thank you for the conviction of your spirit and reading the word all those years ago. Oh, thank you for not letting us sit in darkness awaiting a great light. Thank you, Father. We glory in your grace. May grace be the theme song of our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see this in David. Now notice, David is a king. David could delegate anything and he would get action. But the one thing he could not delegate was his prayer life or the worship of God. Amen? That you have to own and own jealously. Jealously. Oh, I've got to skip because I'm running. Oh, getting too excited here. But I can't help it. The word of God is good, right? That was supposed to be funny. You can laugh this week sometime if you want. He says, your wondrous works shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. If King David were alive today, guess where he would be? He would be right here. He wouldn't delegate an envoy or an ambassador to come and represent him. He would be here in God's house speaking. And he says, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. You say you want justice, you will see it. It's been promised. It's coming. Another thing David does, by the way, that point was he praised God for his own, for his glory. Praise God for God's glory. And then secondly, he praised God for God's goodness. Have you noticed this? It's slow, it's incremental, but the longer you live and walk with God, the more your confidence grows in him. It's almost imperceptible. You just wake up one morning and realize you're confident in him. I know this happened to me one time when I went through a very serious illness. And a friend of mine who was known for doing all of life through prayer, just stuck with me, and he helped me learn how to pray through a very serious illness. And when it looked like I was going to recover and be, well, it looked like a mess, but he just came to me and he said, Brother Bob, I just want to tell you, watch for God to give you a wonderful confidence in him. You'll just have an amazing confidence that you'll get through suffering and walking through with him. That's exactly what you see in David, just this growing confidence. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He's good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. And then he talks to his God. He's finished reflecting and he says, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. Ah. Thirdly, he prays God for his kingdom. Notice, watch the Holy Spirit to do that in you. You get more and more of a sensitive eye to the kingdom and the growth of the kingdom. Remember what Jesus said? The kingdom is like a little bitty mustard seed that starts out very small, but then of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen? It starts out very small. It's really hard to see it grow, but it takes over. You see that in David. He's not excited about his own kingdom. He's excited about the kingdom of God. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom. They shall tell of your power. They will make known to children your mighty deeds, the glorious splendor of your kingdom. I mean, the guy is on drugs. This is like, I'm just kidding. Yeah, thanks for laughing. You got I mean, he is overflowing with this sense. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. Just yesterday, I was reading about the 100,000 protesters that are supposed to be in downtown Chicago. I think tonight and tomorrow, you've read about that, the anti-Israel protesters. And I have a prayer group, and we pray for the nation, we pray for the countries, we pray for the world. And one of the lawyers in the prayer group said, I'm really worried. 100,000 people can create mayhem. And you know, we should be concerned. But here's the promise. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. The Great Commission will be fulfilled. Psalm 2 says that the Father talked to the Son and said, My Son, all you have to do is ask for the nations and I'll give them to you. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus, has asked for the nations. And he's told us, you go in confidence, stand strong. The kingdom will prevail. Amen? And I know we're Presbyterians, but that's good, right? Isn't that exciting? Whoo, just go to lunch on that, would you? And then another neat thing is David praised God for God's providence. You know, it really is true. You look back and you just see the Lord is faithful. He's kind in all his works. He upholds all who are falling. He raises up all who are bowed down. Oh, the eyes of all look to you, Lord. You give them their food in due season. You open your hand. I mean, David thinks about all the ways God has provided for him and helped him. And then lastly, he says he praised God for his saving mercy, the last five verses. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Now, did you get that? That's a praying life. Did you know that there's a huge cachet of blessing in the Father's pocket, and he loves to reach in the pocket and hand out blessings? He's very generous with his blessing, but he does say this, hey, dude, you've got to ask. There's a certain joy in my heart as your father that happens when you ask. So I'm telling you, ask. Ask in my name. Ask without sense of limit. Ask abiding in me. Ask and see what I do. Ask, ask, ask. So one of the greatest things you can do is learn how to do all of life through prayer. Amen? Yeah. And you know what's interesting is most of us, we're really good in the Word. We're good at serving at church. We're good at fellowship. We're good at community. But prayer is just kind of absent. And do you know why? Well, several reasons. So you need to come to a refresher on a praying life seminar or come through a praying life cohort. And Art Whitman and I will be at the table after the service to really sell you. But where the Lord goes with this is that what I want you to hear is you and I have a sworn enemy who does not want us praying. It is too overwhelming of a weapon. It is too overpowering for him. So he almost doesn't care what you do or don't do beyond that. If he can get you to not pray, just slip into prayerlessness, go through your day, almost like an orphan, he's got a shot at winning the day and trying to rob God's blessing from you. Amen? So anybody interested? Anybody want to... Pray every day, Lord, teach me to pray this day, to do all of life with you. And then just notice, let me just jump to the end. as a man in his fourth quarter of life, don't be afraid to be deliberate about that. But then as you watch that, realize that for a lot of us, our fourth quarter is going to be our best quarter, because we're going to see these things about God, and they're going to boost us and carry us. Just remember, Abraham was super old. Moses wasn't used to any measure of success until he turned 80. Caleb was 85 when he began to enjoy God's best goals. Samuel was just old. When the God of Israel led him to establish the school of the prophets. Paul was often towards the very end of his life when he wrote those rich letters that we love. I'm here to tell you that with these things, getting to see the journal of David towards the end, towards those mature years, there's great promise here, and that is, yes, you've made lots of mistakes. Yes, you've got lots of regrets. Yes, you feel like you're not doing the Christian life well, but I'm here to tell you, by God's grace, the best is yet to come, and you are right on target. Father, thank you. Oh, we bless your name. Thank you for the reflections. Lord, thank you for your grace. We lay before you all our mistakes, our sins, our rebellions. We confess them. Oh, we need the Lord Jesus. And Father, could we just have a fresh touch this morning, just right here? Would you just fill us fresh and new with your Spirit? We're excited about the years to come. Oh, Lord, we're almost out of breath. We love your word so much. And we thank you and glory in your name. In Jesus' name, amen.